The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Deep down the middle, he's got his man, and he's gone. Jason Swain, touchdown.
It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his house and a Ric Flair. Woo!
SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America, 865-255-03. Jason Swain here with you, live from the Low T Center studio. Ben McKee, Go Balls 247. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Closer and closer to finding out who the Lady Vols basketball coach is going to be. Closer and closer. Will it be today? Will it be tomorrow? But we are getting close.
We are, huh?
I think we are.
Is there a name that you like that you're willing to say?
No, I'm not, because I don't know any name.
Please tell me it's Dawn Staley.
I don't know why anybody would expect for that to happen.
What about Candace Parker?
I don't know why you want a coach who's never coached before.
Well, you can't keep track of the names that come out of my mouth, apparently, based off of your text messages yesterday. So
I don't know why.
Candace Parker. I think if she wanted to get into coaching, I think she would be a phenomenal coach, because she seems to be somebody who can communicate really well. And she seems to, you know, one of the things that makes LeBron great is his IQ. That is what makes LeBron great, on top of all the athleticism and whatnot. I feel like that's the best part of LeBron's game that doesn't get talked about enough, is just how great of a basketball IQ that he has. And for any of the basketball nerds out there, I encourage you to check out LeBron and JJ Redick's podcast. I mean, it'll help you immensely learn the game of basketball, and it's really cool insight into sets and plays and all that fun stuff. I feel like Candace Parker is on that same level of basketball IQ. So I don't feel like that would be an issue from a coaching standpoint for her. And she seems like a good communicator, so I think she'd be okay there as well. But no, she should not be the next Lady Vols coach, because she does not have experience.
There is names you mentioned that, you know, you kind of joke around, you're not that serious. Oh, that would be nice. Would be nice names. Oh, Candace Parker, that'd be nice. Like, I threw one out yesterday on Josh and Swain, and I said beforehand, I'm 99.1% sure that it's not going to happen. But, oh, that'd be nice if Bruce Pearl came back and coached the Lady Vols. Bring back Bruce. Candace Parker and Bruce Pearl had a cool moment. You know, after Tennessee beat Creighton, they were together here in Tennessee when Bruce coached the men's team. How earth-shattering would that be? But was I serious? No. Oh, that'd be nice for Candace Parker, who never coached, who has the cushiest of jobs in media, who's great, that has an opportunity to be a better TV personality than basketball player. And
you don't have to worry about all the BS that comes with being a coach.
But think about how crazy that is. How decorated Candace Parker's basketball career is. National champion, the collegiate level. Jersey hanging in the rafters. Multiple time champion in the WNBA. And I think she would be better at TV. That's how great she is in TV. And she could do it for longer. Like John Madden was he was a really good coach, wasn't he? But he was even more iconic as a announcer. The game that people go crazy over is named after him. His legacy is even bigger. Not coaching or playing. That's what Candace Parker can do. So why in the heck would she want to coach basketball? To only open up opportunity to tarnish her legacy. Like, I don't understand. Like, when you get older, man, there's just certain stuff you used to do, but you just don't do anymore. You don't go around knocking on people's doors, running away. You don't roll people's houses and do all that you did when you was 14, 15 years old. You just don't do those things now. You grown. You got stuff to do. You got bills. You got a real job. You got a real career. You got time to be doing all that silly stuff. I just think as a fan, it's time to mature. It's time to grow up. Candace Parker? Come on, Al Wilson. Hey, there's a linebacker vacancy, Ben. Call Al Wilson. It's not going to happen. Stop.
I will say, I haven't seen a lot of Candace Parker being mentioned. Maybe I have missed it and seen things different than you. I know you sent me the one tweet via text yesterday. That's really been the only Candace Parker that I've seen, to be honest with you. I think Tennessee fans, for the most part, understand that that's not very realistic.
I haven't seen a lot of it either.
Which that's a good thing, because it does feel different than football, whereas the last couple of cycles, there's been a VFL that has surfaced that Tennessee fans wanted to go after. I guess it was before, during the Pruitt stuff, it was all T. Martin, and then there was some Jason Witten stuff at some point or another in the last search. I haven't felt that with the Lady Vols search, and I agree with everything that you said about Candace Parker and the broadcasting side of things. I obviously do not know her motivations in life. Maybe she wants to get into coaching one day, but from the outside looking in, it seems like it would be a much simpler life to stay in broadcasting and be great like she is, rather than having to deal with all the BS that comes with being a college coach nowadays. And I don't think that she'd have to start at a D2 or D3 or a JUCO level, but having to build her way up to a place like Tennessee, if she wants to be a coach, that's one thing, and you kind of got to go through the grind to get there. But I just seems much simpler to stay in television and be great, like she has the potential to be great. I mean, she already is great, and she's not even really in TV full time. I mean, once she fully retires from the WNBA, and I think she's done playing overseas, if I'm not mistaken. I think she's just kind of playing a couple more seasons in the WNBA. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, obviously. But once she goes full time, like, she's going to be the best of the best broadcasting basketball. I mean, she will be up there.
She'll be Doris Burke level. She has the opportunity.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Like, she will be up there with Doris Burke. And for Lady Vol fans, it'll be very cool, because Andrea Carter is killing the game right now. Andrea Carter is one of the best broadcasters at any level at the moment. Andrea Carter has a fun energy to her. She breaks the game down at an exceptionally high level. I don't think she's afraid to say what she feels. She has been terrific, which is why she was weekly on the men's college game day set. Not just talking about women. She's also talking about the men's as well. So it's cool for Lady Vol fans to have Andrea Carter and Candace Parker repping at the same time. And both of them are are as good as they come at their craft. But yeah, I haven't seen a lot of Candace Parker bust. I think Tennessee fans understand that that's not a realistic possibility. I think the name that Tennessee fans are drooling over most, which isn't likely, is Dawn Staley. I feel like Dawn Staley is the one that Tennessee fans are clamoring for that isn't realistic. Now, you and I had this conversation on Tuesday. I absolutely believe that you call her behind the scenes and you just make sure that she doesn't want to make a move. I absolutely do believe you at least call her behind the scenes and connect and hear a private no. But
man, there's only one way to reach out. You don't have to say behind the scenes. That's how they always communicate.
Well, I didn't necessarily mean behind the scenes like how we talk about the transfer portal.
You want Danny the tweeter? Hey, man, we looking for a head coach. You want to be a head coach?
I'm sure Tennessee fans would love that. No, I meant privately is what I meant when I said that, obviously. Not necessarily the transfer portal version of behind the scenes.
You mean back channels, like,
yes.
You mean if you're Danny White, you don't directly talk to Dawn Staley. Yes, like you absolutely
should make it known that you would love to hire her. Yeah. You absolutely should. Yeah. Again, she's not going to make a move, but I do believe you at least make it known to her in whatever way possible that you would love to hire her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand that. I would get a no first. And I think Don has a lot of respect for the program not to let it get public. I mean, she respects everything that Pat Summitt has done and built this program. You know, football coaches are different. You know, they can't wait to let everybody know that they got offered another job so they can use it to get money. And I don't know if Dawn Staley would do that, but you certainly don't want that to happen if you're Danny White. And you know, you were talking about Candace Parker, like Dawn Staley. She as a player, she had a very decorated career. She win multiple championships in college or anything, but like she's Olympian and very successful in WNBA, and she still had to coach 9 years at Temple before she got her big opportunity. But anyways, the longer it goes, I guess it's good for maybe the chances for Tennessee if you are looking at someone who's currently coaching in the Final Four, but if this thing wraps up today, tomorrow, then it may or may not be someone in the Final Four. I think, you know, Jeff Walls over there at Louisville is, you know, someone that was mentioned before. But there's his style, his personality may not mesh, but you can't argue with his record. Kara Lawson was mentioned. We talked about her on Tuesday. I don't really see that happening. I think there were some, you know, things said and done in the past that I don't know if people are over. And so I don't know if that's going to be the direction that Tennessee goes. I would be surprised. But, I would support it until I was given a reason not to. But we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. It's a big move. It's a big hire. I saw where Kelly Harper made a statement. She's always been classy. Wouldn't expect anything different from her. Her being let go, and I know she's gonna be rooting for whoever takes over. And hopefully Kelly is able to go out and get a gig while still getting paid. Hope she's able to do that, but if not, ain't nothing like being a fired basketball, football, baseball coach. If you got a couple years left on that contract, because you are getting paid and doing nothing. Nathaniel, nada.
Let me ask you this. How big of a test is this for Danny White? Because, I mean, it's no secret that he's going to have to hire a men's basketball coach at some point, sooner rather than later, with Rick Barnes getting up there in age. And I assume that Rick's probably not going to coach another decade. I would be surprised if he coaches another decade. So how big of a test do you feel like this is for Danny White. And this may be comparing apples to oranges, but you know, basketball outside of building stadiums and renovations and just money. I mean, this is Danny White's forte is basketball. This is his thing. So how big of a test do you feel like this is for him to swing big and connect? And I think there's already a lot of confidence that Danny would go out and hire a great basketball coach because he's done so in the past at other spots. And again, this is kind of the thing that he knows best outside of the financial stuff that comes with being an AD. How big of a test do you feel like this is for him?
I think in Danny White's position, every day and everything you do is a test. I know, you know, you're not trying to say it's not, but I mean, he's over athletics inside of one of the most prestigious and history rich programs in the SEC. So botching one thing can get you fired when you're the AD at a place like Tennessee. We saw Dave Hart botch a couple things here and there. John Curry, Mike Hamilton. Like, it don't take much. Whether it's fundraising, hiring of coaches, Dave Hart messing with the Lady Vol brand for some reason. It don't take much. So I think every move Danny White makes is important. It's vital. And he has passed every test so far. He hasn't made everybody happy, but I feel like he's passed every test. But when it comes to basketball, Ben, I have no worries. I have no worries. I mean, this is a guy that played it at the collegiate level. He has a brother that coach at the collegiate level. I'm not saying his brother is a great coach. Sorry. He ain't blazing a trail or anything.
He's not bad either, though.
He ain't bad either. But you know, his father worked alongside Coach K at Duke. I mean, Danny White grew up in basketball. He's from Louisiana. Every time, you know, Danny is on a pregame show, football games there at the Gate 21 stage, and Chris Brown's on the show. Oh, man, you ought to see him and Danny White. Because they both from Louisiana. I want to say they both went to the same high school, not the same time, obviously. And so they talk about the gym, how hot it was, and they didn't have AC. Oh, you should see him, man. Oh, you should see him. Yucking it up. But Danny White's a basketball dude, man, through and through. So I'm not really concerned about any basketball hires that he's going to make.
Let me put it this way. Do you need him to make a great hire with the Lady Vols to feel good going into having to replace Rick Barnes, or do you already feel that way even pre Lady Vols hire because of his background?
Yeah, I feel the same about both hires. One that has to make now and one that he'll have to make later. I mean, he's a guy that believed in Nate Oates before the world knew about Nate Oates. And look where he is right now, coaching in the Final Four. So he knows what it's supposed to look like. So men's, women's, for me, it doesn't matter. I got the same confidence that he's going to get the right coach. And he's not giving me any reason to believe that he won't, because he's 1-0 right now in hiring coaches so far. 1-0. You know, hiring Josh Heupel, and Heupel looks like he's, you know, the guy for the job long term. So I don't believe someone can't do something before they do it. I believe they can until they show me they can't.
Now let me throw a Garrett Crochet fastball at you.
Ooh,
up and in.
All right, let's go. See if, 100 strikeouts.
Turn on it. See if you can turn on it like Alex Verdugo did yesterday against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Or
I got that Blake Burke. I got that Blake Burke over here.
Oh, do you? We'll see. You mentioned Bruce Pearl earlier.
Yeah, what about him? I was joking, by the way.
About the women's stuff, yes.
See, yeah, I was joking.
Would you want Tennessee to go after Bruce Pearl post Rick Barnes?
I wouldn't mind a little conversation, but
I wouldn't either.
I don't know Steven gonna that's I think that I don't know that.
Well, I think Steven's the next coach at Auburn.
I don't think so.
I guess if Bruce left for Tennessee, then maybe Auburn doesn't want to hire Steven. But like if Bruce retired tomorrow, Steven Pearl's the next Auburn head basketball coach.
I don't know, man. I don't. I know that Steve is doing a lot of interviews to get himself in that position. Like, if you've noticed Tennessee basketball over the last 7 years, Rick Barnes lets his assistants talk, and that helps them prepare being in front of the camera, getting their name out there, getting a face out there to be a head coach. We haven't always seen and heard Steven Pearl talk to the media. He's doing a lot of that now. So it seems like he's being groomed to be a head coach. I don't know if he has a temperament to be a head coach right now. Dude, he's worse than Eric Musselman on the sideline. Like he would get thrown out once a week. But again, I was just joking about Bruce Pearl with the girls. But like if Rick Barnes retires, I like Kim English, but I understand. Say, hey, Bruce, hey, man, what's up?
I don't know if I would advocate for Bruce, but I think that would be a nice next step.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tennessee basketball.
Go ahead. Reunite. Tell us no. That's what I would say. Go ahead and tell us no, Bruce, so we can move on. Just go ahead
and
tell
us no. I don't know that he would say no. I don't think it's a guaranteed yes by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think it's a guaranteed no. I mean, we're starting to see Bruce Pearl, his name attached to other jobs more and more. Ohio State, USC.
He got everything he needs to be successful.
What's that?
I said he has everything he needs to be successful at Auburn.
He does, but on the other side, does he? I mean, he can go elsewhere and fan base be even bigger than what it is at Auburn.
He don't need the fan base to be bigger.
He don't need it, but we know how Bruce is.
Yeah, he has all the resources. He needs to be successful at Auburn. He's been successful.
I agree, but I had a conversation this weekend in Detroit where if Tennessee opened up, I think Bruce would most definitely listen.
Yeah. It's like, remember Rick Barnes got an opportunity to go to UCLA. And as a basketball coach who is old as Bruce and Rick, and like growing up, you remember the programs like UCLA, Kentucky, and Kansas, and North Carolina. And like if you're a young up and coming coach, like that's ultimately where you want to go. But Rick said, no, I'm good. Number one, he got paid. But number two, like he has everything he needs to be successful here. And I feel the same way about Bruce at Auburn. Like you don't have to go to a blue blood. You don't have to go to Louisville. Like you're in better shape than Louisville. Just because, you know, Denny Crim did what he did at Louisville, and that don't mean that you don't have the same resources and support now at Louisville. So you just don't have to go.
No, you don't.
You don't have to go. So jobs that were once prestigious doesn't mean that they are now. It's why Tennessee football fans couldn't wrap their head around being told no so many times when we needed a head coach. So, anyways, that's a couple years away, man, from crossing that bridge, man. Rick Barnes,
yeah,
steps away.
Tennessee fans hope so, but I could see a world where Sakai Ziegler, a senior next year, and you've got this next core wrapping up next year with Zakai and Jamai and Jonas. You're going to have a lot of guys moving on from the program next year, starting with Zakai Ziegler. And I just wonder, again, I truly do. I'm not trying to insinuate anything or insinuate that I know something, but I do wonder. I mean, we know that Rick Barnes views Zakai Ziegler like a son. And I wonder if Rick would want to rebuild a roster post Zakai or break in a point guard host Zakai at his age. So just something I wonder about is if I don't know about you, Swain, but I've gotten the question a lot this past season of, do you feel like Rick seems different this year? Do you feel like Rick is soaking it in more this year? I got that question quite a bit throughout the season. And my answer was yes. I did feel like Rick was a little different in that regard. Not during practice. He was same old Rick Barnes during practice and games. But in terms of maybe not being as mad post-game as I thought he would be, or maybe soaking in this win or that win a little more than he has done in the past, it did feel a little different this past season in that regard. So I do wonder if Zakai Ziegler's final season might be Rick's final season.
Yeah, I think a couple reasons why Rick has been like that. Number one, he had a senior group, a player-led team, more than any other team he's had at Tennessee. So he could be hands-off more. Number two, I think we saw this with Nick Saban. Like, Nick was smiling in the press conferences his last 2 years. You know, he wasn't going on rants, wasn't as mad all the time. And I just think that came with, you know, age, knowing that you kind of going down the hill rather than up the hill. But yeah, Rick has a few more good ones in him. And
I hope so.
Yeah, he got a few more good ones in him.
I hope he's closer to five than one. This is a good point from a Vol fan on the text box that I should have acknowledged with Bruce. Bruce is 64 right now. He would probably be at least 66 or older when Rick decide when Tennessee needs a new basketball coach. So I didn't realize Bruce was that old. I thought he was a little bit younger. So maybe that age aspect.
That's why it don't matter.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Bruce doesn't carry himself like he's that. Number one. Number two, Rick got bigger jobs early in his career. Bruce, it took him a lot longer to get the bigger job. I'll give you another point. How old you think Donnie Plowman is?
Well, if you're asking it in that manner, she must be older than I would think that she is.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with someone. I forgot exactly how old she is. I don't know if it's like a final birthday. I have to look at it during the break. But you wouldn't believe how old Dondi was based on the energy she brings. Like, she carries herself like she's barely over 50. Because she got energy and enthusiasm. And that's what Bruce has. So it don't really matter how old you are. It's the energy that you bring. And that's something that Bruce does better than coaches who are 20 years younger than him. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Ben McKee, GoVols 247. Jason Swain, stay with us.
Fellas, there's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a provider that you can trust. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels checked. At Low T Center, they make it quick and easy. You walk in, take a simple blood test, and you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. If you've been feeling tired, grumpy, have noticed weight gain, loss of muscle mass, you may have low T levels. Go to lowtcenter.com to book your appointment online. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare. When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go, Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Hey, Vol Nation. This is Charlie Pratt, financial representative with Modern Woodmen and MWA Financial Services. Modern Woodmen has been touching lives and securing futures for 140 years. Being born and raised here in East Tennessee, I'm honored to help East Tennesseans in all phases of life with retirement planning, investments, and life insurance. A big win on Saturday starts with preparation early in the week. A secure financial future starts with planning today. Contact my office today at 865-919-6468 to review your financial plan and make sure you are on track for success. As always, go Vols.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's college sports town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo, or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it, and I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call, Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904, or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com, and check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Just because you can't call in doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sideline. Impact the show with a text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Ben McKee, I saw one of the silliest things a couple days ago. By the way, Donnie Plowman is 71, about to be 72.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. See, that's what I'm talking about. Really? Ain't no Bruce Pearls at all. Really? Ain't no Donnie. Yeah, that's because they get it in. They got their energy. So it doesn't really matter. She took over at 68 in 2021. Her birthday, I don't know. What was her birthday? Anyways, she.
I do think, though, Bruce being older makes it whatever, even if it's a 10% chance that he would leave Auburn for Tennessee. Maybe his age makes it a 5% chance just because he don't want to make a move on the back end of his career.
That's fine.
And maybe Tennessee doesn't want to go that route with an older coach. Maybe they want to go a little younger.
Yeah, maybe. All right.
Like Kim English, your boy, who you mentioned.
Yeah, like Kim English. So a couple of days ago, man, I'm just making my way on Twitter. And I see Paul Pierce on Undisputed. They're talking about Caitlin Clark's performance versus LSU. And he's like, man, we saw a white girl, Caitlin Clark. She did that to a bunch of black girls. That gave my respect. I didn't expect that. And I put like a face palm emoji, not because he mentioned anything about like the race part, because folks can get out rage all they want to, but when you see Dog Connect out here jumping over and dunking on folks and showing his athleticism, people go, oh man, I ain't know he can jump like that, because you ain't used to seeing that a lot. And it's okay to admit that. Like, it's okay to admit that. So I ain't have a problem with Paul saying that. I mean, it's kind of like the movie White Man Can't Jump. Like, you just didn't expect Billy to be jumping like that. You didn't expect Billy to have them skills like that. But the reason why I facepalm is because I was like, sir, Caitlin Clark been doing this every year she's been at Iowa. which is why she is the all-time leading scorer in college. She came in as an All-American, so she was doing that on the AAU circuit. Where did y'all find Paul Pierce? She been doing this for at least 8 years. Like, that's why I was like, come on, dude. This is, get him off TV, man. Get him off TV, man. Golly. Yeah, that was just a terrible take. Anyways, I just wanted to mention that.
Every time I see Paul Pierce, he is saying something very, very, very dumb.
Oh,
he has had some really poor moments on television. That was my first thought as well. That, like, all you, like, I assume that he said that because he thought it was funny, or
no, he said it because he didn't follow it. He just basically told himself. Saying. Yeah,
he thought in the moment him saying that is funny, but what it really shows is that you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, and exactly.
Like, I don't know that that's something that I would want to admit, because even AAU circuit aside, like, how have you not heard about Caitlin Clark within the last 2 years?
Yeah, well,
especially as a basketball player who is still around the game as much as you are, and you're trying to get all of these gigs on podcasts and television. Like, how are you unaware of Caitlin Clark?
No, it's the fact that he heard of her. It's the fact that he didn't know that she was doing that to everybody. White girls, black girls, big girls, tall girls. It didn't matter. She is going to drop 30 or 40 points on your head. That was what made me go, what? Anyways, all right. Yesterday we had a caller, Nora, actually a message on text box on Joshua Swain. I thought it'd be a really good question to ask you. What position group from this 2024 team would you take over the 2022 team, and how many? Right now, going into the spring, approaching the summer, going to the fall. Let it marinate. Think about it. Don't say nothing that's going to make you backpedal or moonwalk. You know, we don't do that on the Swain event anymore.
I just went through the offense in my head, and there's not a position unit I would take.
You better not.
Offensively.
There's not one.
I would take this secondary.
The whole secondary?
Yes, because that 22 secondary was just awful. Who played well in that 22 secondary? I mean, T-Mac had a solid year, I guess you could say. Slaughter came on pretty solid at corner towards the end of the year. But, like, I think Ricky Gibson and Jermod McCoy will be better.
Those are corners.
Huh?
They play corner. That's why I asked you about the whole secondary. There's five dudes.
But I would take these. I don't think that, like, even if Andre Turrentine going to be worse than Jalen McCullough?
Andre Turrentine couldn't beat out Jalen McCullough last year.
Yes, but that was last year. We're talking about this year.
That's why I'm asking you. Are you sure you want to go secondary, or you want to stick with corners? Because
I'll say the whole secondary, because I think there is more athleticism and needed youthfulness back there. I will take this secondary and its potential over that secondary and its floor just simply being higher. I think the ceiling is much higher with this secondary. I think Jakobi Thomas is going to be a real nice addition for Tennessee. I really do. I saw him in yesterday was the first practice that I was able to make it to, because I've been traveling with basketball and everything. And I was surprised at how good Jakobi Thomas looked in his pads. He was filled out more than I expected for him to be filled out. So I think he's going to be a real nice addition.
I'm not comfortable saying that about Jakobi Thomas yet.
Why not?
Because I have not seen him play against top tier talent consistently. He may be a really good player for us. He may be better than Jalen McCullough. But I know one thing, as much as Jalen McCullough was doubted and people wanted to see somebody else. Nobody took his spot. No one put him on the bench. No one, Andre Turrentine couldn't do it. No one could do it. And so I get the athleticism part, that critique. I think it's fair. But I feel more comfortable going corners because I've seen Ricky Gibson in orange compete in games. And I think McCoy proved more during his year at Oregon State than really any other secondary player that we brought in from the portal. And I see him as CB1, co-CB1 with him and Ricky Gibson. So I feel better about saying, yo, I'm taking these two corners over the 2022 corners more than I feel comfortable saying I'll take the whole secondary because safety-wise, I'm not sure yet. You know, Tamarion McDonald, really good tackler, wasn't great, wasn't terrible. McCullough wasn't great, wasn't terrible, solid. You want better. You want more athleticism, but you couldn't replace him. And now you're going to try to do it. So I just need to see that. So I'm not ready to say whole secondary yet. I am ready to say corners. What other position are you ready to say? Because I think two more.
I am taking the whole secondary. Okay. I think the ceiling, I'm willing to take that risk, although I do agree with what you're saying. I would take the linebackers, this group of inside linebackers over that group of inside linebackers of Jeremy Banks and Juwan Mitchell.
I'm taking the whole group of linebackers.
Yes. Well, I mean, do we view James Pierce Jr. as an outside linebacker or defensive lineman?
I put him on the line. I view him as a line.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that Leo spot, that third linebacker, I mean, that could play opposite of James Pierce Jr. I guess that'll mostly be a defensive end, but the inside linebacker group, I'm absolutely taking this group from a leadership standpoint and athleticism standpoint. I don't want anything to do with Jeremy Banks and Juwan Mitchell, my football team. It's as simple as that for me. And it's not like Tennessee doesn't have talent at that inside linebacker position. This is a big spring for them and a big offseason for them to take a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they have a lot to prove, but I think Keenan Peely is going to be really solid. I thought he would be a season ago, but unfortunately injury got in the way. And it sounds like he had a nice performance in that first scrimmage of the spring last week. So I really like the inside linebackers. I think the interesting question, Swain, is the defensive line.
Yeah, for me, it's linebackers and it's defensive line. That's who I would take over the 2022.
And the corners.
The corners, yeah. D-line, linebackers, corners.
The D-line's interesting because a lot of the core is the same core from that 2022 group.
Yeah, plus James Pierce, who's going to be a top 10 pick if he doesn't get hurt.
And you've added some nice transfers. I think Omar Norman Lott has his quirks and has been very up and down, but he does have a lot of potential and made some plays last year. I know they're really high on Jackson Moy. I think he's further along the Stanford transfer than they anticipated. So you already have that nice core, and then you've been able to add through the portal. You've been able to develop guys like Dominic Bailey to get them to the Bryson Eason and Omari Thomas level or within that range. Jason Jenkins at well, and then they've been able to recruit fairly solid at that position the last 2 years as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would take the line. I would take linebackers. I agree 100% with you with Jerome Banks and Juwan Mitchell. So, two whole groups.
Not special teams.
Special teams. Come on, man. Anybody going to kick the game winner versus Bama in a big game right now? Kicker? I don't know.
They might.
We have a pretty good punter, too. So, I ain't ready to go there yet.
I think I would take Jackson Ross, though. Jackson Ross, after kind of getting his toes wet last season by punt within the punting world, I think Jackson Ross is – I think Jackson Ross is going to prove to be one of the best punters in the country this season.
Yeah. But that's based on what you think is going to happen, not what we saw last year.
So, well, you didn't clarify how I had to come to my decisions. You didn't say I had to base it off of next year. Part of making the decision is what you think they're going to be this year.
I didn't. I mean, that's like saying I would take the receivers because Dante Thornton, because I think Dante Thornton is going to have a better season than last year. Well, I need to see that first before I say that. Like I need to see it. You know, Dante struggled last year. He has the potential, but I need to see it first. So that's how. You know, that's how I feel about kickers and punters. Like, I know how excited we are about Nico, but let's get one thing straight. Hendon was him that year. He was him. All right, 865-255-03. Brian Hunsucker says Swain is a hater. How am I a hater? On who? Ben Hall says, Basilio's saying that the things he's hearing about Nico is freaky in a good way. What are you hearing, sir? Ben Hall. Really? We've been saying Nico is special. This ain't breaking news. Like, Nico is that guy. He's a once-in-a-generation type of player. Said that when Tennessee was recruiting them, that it's all hands on deck for this type of player. That's not change. Ben, did you watch the bowl game? You don't need a radio show host to tell you that Nico was freaky in a good way. He was freaky in the damn bowl game in his first start with no blocking and no receivers. Sorry, I mean, I ain't trying to come off certain type of way here, Ben, but that's obvious. Everybody knows that, right? McKee, don't you know that about Nico?
Which Ben are you talking to at this point?
McKee. I just said McKee.
Yes, everybody knows that about Nico at this point, but I do think it is fair for fans who do not have the access to the program that we do on a daily basis to wonder how Nico is doing, taking that step from being the backup to the starter. We all think that he is going to be perfectly fine, obviously, but fans still wonder how he is doing in spring camp and practice and scrimmages, and he's been performing very, very well.
Nico, you can't come close to him. Like, you can't tackle him. So he's gonna look great right now. Way further along than a normal first year player. Where Nico will have some hiccups is during the fall in the games. And if he has a clean pocket and guys are running their routes properly and getting open, he's going to continue to be great. But if there's leakage with the offensive line with pass pro and guys not getting open, then it's going to cause some issues for Nico, because it's a team game, an ultimate team game in football. How great you are a quarterback, you can't really be successful if you're running for your life and guys are not getting open and not catching a ball. So I'm not set off, Ben, but like, I'm just saying, like, we all knew Nico was knocking it out of the park and balling out in practice. That's not breaking news. Ben said he did watch the bowl game. That's why Nico was in the top five or seven Heisman odds already. He played one full football game for Tennessee. He's already talked about as being a Heisman contender. We're talking about him being here 2 years as a starter and gone. Brian Hunsucker says, I never thought Swain would be the president of Jalen McCullough Fan Club, but here we are. Okay? It ain't about being part of a fan club. You saw what I saw. You just don't want to admit it. No one took your spot. Remember how poor Jared Garantano played here? And how y'all got mad at Jerm Pruitt for playing him? And I wasn't mad at Pruitt for playing him. I was mad because Pruitt couldn't find anybody that was better to replace him. They wouldn't have played Jalen McCullough if they didn't think he was better than the guys that the other guys. I mean, because at one point, Andre Turrentine was going out with the ones in fall camp. Ben, you remember that. The beginning of fall camp, Andre Turrentine was first. And I was told, hey, man, Jalen McCullough's going to be the starter. I was like, oh, really? I thought Turrentine was going to make that move, transferred over from Ohio State. The athleticism, I thought it was going to work out. But, again, McCullough was a coach on the football field. He was the linebacker in the secondary. He was the quarterback of the defense, so to speak. You couldn't put him down. That's just facts. It ain't about being part of a fan club, hunsucker. Emphasis on your last six letters of your name, sucker. 865-255-03. Oh, man. I love me some Brian Hunsucker, man. All right. Hit the text box again. Vaughn Birmingham. Which are your credentials? What are you heading? I don't know who top three in the coaching search. I know Lindsey Gottlieb over there at USC has been mentioned. Outside of that, y'all, Danny in the bunker, man. Y'all remember when he hired Josh Heupel? We didn't hear nothing about Josh Heupel until a couple minutes before he was announounced by Pete Thamel.
And Danny White was mad that he got out there.
Yeah, like, and it was tight. It was zip tight. But he got out like a little bit right before it came out. So, dude, he is in a bunker. This thing is airtight. Airtight. Nathaniel says, we're going to be PU again, baby. We might be. Jackson Ross is, I think he's going to have a great year this year. I agree with you, though, Ben. I think last year was his first time kicking in college. I thought, you know, nerves got the best of him at times. But he is a weapon. I think he's going to be more of a weapon this year.
Yeah, and I'm taking him over Paxton Brooks. Paxton Brooks had a nice Tennessee career, but I'm taking Jackson Ross as a sophomore over Paxton Brooks.
I'm not ready to say that yet, man. My man Jackson Ross had a lot of shanks, man.
He also had a lot of awesome punts too.
Yeah, okay, that's 50%.
Well, he's a freshman. I'm not expecting that number to be the same as a sophomore. Yes, he's got to go prove that, obviously, but I will give him the benefit of the doubt until he proves me otherwise. Okay. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that I'm not willing to give others the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
That's how life works. There are people in your life that you are willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. There's other people that you work with that you're not willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I do that based on what they have done.
Don't know.
So if you a 50% shooter, I'm kind of expecting you to be a 50% shooter until you prove otherwise, better or worse. So with Jackson Ross, had some good kicks, had a lot of shanks. So until he shows that he's not going to do that, I'm expecting that. Maybe a little bit better, but I need to see more before I put him on that list. If you want to do that, you can. just me.
That's all right. You take Paxton Brooks on your football team. I'm gonna take Jackson Ross, and my team will outpunch you. Okay, we will out special teams.
Oh boy,
your team.
Oh man, I am shaking my boots.
You should. Special teams was the difference in Tennessee's win over Texas A&M. You know, so my team's going to be better set to, yeah, to win that game. Yeah,
you know why that was the difference, Ben? You know why special teams was the difference? Because the offense wasn't good the way it needed to be, Ben. That's why. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't what we were used to seeing from the last 2 years, Josh Heupel's offense. Because if the offense was like it was the last 2 years, it wouldn't need to be a special teams game to win. You would have just won.
Now hold on. We haven't seen Nico play against Alabama, so are you sure that you want to? Well, I guess you said you were taking Hendon anyways.
Yeah, I don't know where
you're going. I was thinking up. Last year's team with Joe.
Yeah, you need to back
up. I was thinking last year's team with Joe. My bad.
You need to put it in reverse. Put it in reverse.
But by your Jackson Ross logic, I guess you're going to roll with Joe since you've seen him play a nice first half against Alabama and you haven't seen Nico play a nice first half against Alabama. Does that mean that you're going to roll with Joe Milton over Nico?
Ben, 2024 team compared to the 2022 team. Joe started last year.
That's not my narrative in this very moment.
You ain't making no sense.
Making no sense.
Ben Hall says Danny is somewhere with a flashlight doing Morse code on this coaching search. Oh yeah, Danny White is not letting anything leak.
Put a poll in the text box: Junior Paxton Brooks or sophomore Jackson Ross.
Wait, why don't you just let it go, man?
No, because I don't want to. You didn't want to let other stuff go earlier. You didn't want to let the Nico stuff go a minute ago. So I'm not going to let this go.
Let it go, man. Here's another thing that you didn't mention.
Jumping on Ben Hall like a spider monkey. You better leave me alone with my punter talk if I want to talk about punter.
Let me tell you something. Paxton Brooks barely punted in 2022 because the offense was so good. So I hope that Paxton Brooks, I hope that Jackson Ross punts half of the amount of times he did last year. That would be awesome. He had to punt way too many times. And that's the responsibility of the offense. Moving those chains. I'm not having a deep punter discussion with you today.
Well, quit taking it so serious then. And we won't. I have a serious running backs question for you. Tennessee needs to go get a running back out of the portal these next couple of weeks. That's pretty obvious at this point, right?
It depends. I think it depends. You gonna go get Mondre London? You gonna go get old boy from Clemson that was here for like 3 days?
Lynn J. Dixon.
You gonna go get that guy just because you need a body?
No, I mean I wouldn't go that far. If there's nobody of quality, then I would say roll with what you got. But even in that instance, would you be willing to take a risk that you understand may not work out? Because, I mean, it sounds like Cam Seldon's going to have to miss some time in the fall, which leaves a bunch of unproven, very young running backs behind Dylan Sampson. So would you rather go into the season with that, or would you rather take a risk on somebody?
I would rather say, all right, Peyton Lewis and Dylan Sampson and Khalifa, let's see what you got. See what you got. Let's go. I just don't want to go out there and just get a dude that's going to count against a number and him not do anything because you're taking away opportunity to address a offensive line.
I feel you there.
Yeah.
But if there's a good quality body that becomes available, I think you absolutely have to try and bring him in. If there is a legitimate running back that is not Madre London or Lynn J. Dixon, I think that you should do everything that you can to bring that running back in.
Yeah, if he can be like one or two for you. Like if he's like a Jabari Small type, where he could start for you or he could be number two for you, then okay.
I'm concerned about the running backs.
Bro, I am too.
So that is why I would try my best to add one this offseason.
But it has to be the right person, though.
Yes, absolutely. It has to be the right person. Can't really take away from the offensive line if you can add there, because I do think that Tennessee needs some interior help in a major way, whether that be as left guard or as a backup center, because I think for like the 17th straight year, Tennessee has questions at backup center. There seems like they're trying to force feed Vice and Lang, but don't know how that is trending at the moment. And may have to be Dane Davis being thrown into the fire there if Cooper were to get hurt. And Cooper doesn't have the greatest track record of staying healthy. So interior offensive line and running back, I Tennessee needs to be turning over every single stone in the portal these next couple of weeks once it opens.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. We'll go to the phones after we take a quick timeout. So we'll go to the phones, come back, go to text box, the Bandit Chevrolet text box, go to the hotline right here on the Swain event. Fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
You are now in the presence of a... King.
What's up, Swain Event family? It's great to be on board. This is Taylor Hawkins with Modern Woodman Fraternal Financial, and I have one question for you. When was the last time you have slowed down and evaluated your financial situation? Just like the Vols, a great game plan leads to victory. Let us help you achieve your financial goals with a custom-made game plan. No matter what stage of life you're in, protecting your family and hard-earned money is important. So let one of our local and trusted financial professionals secure your future by visiting one of our 10 branch offices across Tennessee, or give us a call locally at 865-312-5638. And remember, go Vols.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go. Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's college sports town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo? Or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it. And I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call. Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904. Or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com. And check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
The conversation doesn't stop when the show is over. Follow the Swain Event on Twitter and like the show on Facebook.
AC 865-255-03. Let's go to the Swain Event Hotline this morning. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Mike from Conyers here.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, just wanted to talk tight ends a little bit, how the tight end group was looking. I know Holden Stays is expected to be a big contributor for us this year. Really excited about him. I am curious just about Emmanuel Okoye. I didn't know if he's making any strides or not. Is he going to be a contributor? Maybe look at him at, edge rusher if it's not working out at tight end. I just a little curious about him, but just tight ends in general. I'm going to hang up and listen and love the show, guys.
Hey, thank you, Mike. Good to hear from you, man. Have a good day.
I think the tight ends are having a nice spring. I think Holden Stays has come in and been what they have expected for the most part. I have not heard otherwise. And you need Ethan Davis to have a big offseason because I think that maybe he is the one with the most potential in the room, the highest ceiling in the room, very athletic. And I have not heard anything other than he's having a nice spring camp and making progress. I think the Alabama transfer might play a little bit more than everybody else outside of the program anticipated. Not that the coaching staff expected him to come in and be tight end one Kietzelman. Or anything like
Miles. That. Miles Kietzelman.
Yes. Miles.
He'll be a
tight end two, tight end three, block specialist, something along those lines.
Yeah, I'm sure he can catch the ball too, but like his strength is contributing to the run game, and I think he'll be good there.
And I think he'll be a real weapon there. Now, I'll be curious to see how the coaching staff draws things up to not make it obvious that when he comes in the game that they're running the football, and I'm sure they'll do a fine job doing that. But I am curious to see how they kind of disguise that so that when he's running on the field, the defense doesn't understand that, oh, they're running the ball here. And maybe with the tempo, it's easier to do so because once, like you talked about the other day, Swain, I can't remember what we were talking about when it got the receiver rotation. That's right. Mm-hmm. Once you're on the field, you're kind of on the field for that series unless there's a incomplete pass or Tennessee purposefully slows it down, which I felt like they did more so last year, but I feel like last year was a result of quarterback play and the decision to slow things down in that regard than anything else. But yeah, I think the tight ends are in a real healthy spot. I think they're having a really solid spring. Emmanuel Okoye, I don't expect him to be sticking at tight end. So.
Athletic, but not a natural ball catcher right now.
No.
From what I saw, it's not natural. And that doesn't mean you can't be good. If you work hard enough, you can. But, like, it's just a lot easier to go rush the passer. I mean, you take him, treat him like a Darrell Taylor who came in at 220 pounds, 6'4", with a great frame, and you build him up to be an absolute beast. In a couple of years. It's like, go get the quarterback. That's how I would look at Emmanuel Okoye. 865-255-03. Dustin Vall, 71. And I was meant to mention Deshaun Bitchett when we were talking about running backs, but had to run the break and was in the midst of the conversation. So coming off injury, he's gonna be in the mix too. So no offense that we didn't mention him, but he has come off injury. He'll have an opportunity. That's why I'm just not running to the portal, especially if there's the same type of caliber player you have currently on your team. But if you have a guy that you can get that's like a Jabari Small, okay, sure. But then I need to know how much money you want because we got salary cap over here. It's like every other school. And there's been a lot dedicated to certain players, and I don't know if we got what you're looking for, man. So, just depends. You got Lady Vol basketball coach you got to hire. You can't hire a good one and then not put support behind that to get the new coach players. And we understand football is what brings in the dough. Football is the ship that raises all, excuse me, it's the tide that raises all ships, just like every other program in the SEC. Like, we totally get that. So we was having conversations about the baseball stadium being renovated, and it was like, just give Tony whatever he wants and just build it now. It's like, we do need to hook up the baseball facility. He does need improvements, but let's understand what's king here. Let's understand what's king. There's football first, and you have to be able to maneuver and take care of everybody while also understanding you got to take care of A1 first too.
Yeah, and that's where it's beneficial to be at a place like Tennessee. Because you don't have to make decisions. You don't have to pick one over the other, at least in terms of the major sports. I don't feel like you have to. I mean, I think everything going on right now is proof of that. I mean, you're taking care of basketball with the renovations to Thompson Bowling. You're taking care of Lindsey Nelson Stadium, practically building a brand new one. And you're on top of the Neyland Stadium reconstruction. You're the upgrades to the facility that are ongoing. I mean, you're kind of taking care of everything at once right now. It's not ideal because that's a lot of money being forked out at once, but you don't really have to pick at a place like Tennessee because money is plentiful. Not a bottomless pit. You have to be smart with how you maneuver, but you shouldn't have to pick one program over the next.
Yeah, I mean, in a way you do, in a way you don't. Because, I don't think you're putting the same amount of energy and resources equally in each program. Like, you're not totally neglecting a program, but like, if the basketball coach that Danny White's trying to hire says, hey, I want the same contract as Josh Heupel. I want the same contract as Rick Barnes. No.
you better be hiring Dan Hurley if that's the case.
Yeah, No, we're not doing that. So, like, you're not totally neglecting a program, but at the same time, everyone knows football is king because football is going to help enrollment. Football is going to help other sports. It just is what it is.
We've already seen that. I mean, the enrollment is this past fall semester is as high as it's ever been, if I'm not mistaken. And I feel like part of that is because of that 2022 season with Hendo and everybody else and the football team doing what it did. I mean, I think it sparked a lot of interest in the university as a whole. I mean, go look at Alabama's enrollment towards the end of Nick Saban's tenure career compared to when he first got there. I mean, the enrollment grew significantly. Yeah. And I think a lot of people would be surprised by how many people are coming nationwide to these quote unquote football schools. It's because they drive things around here. There's no question about that. The football program being what it needs to be and should be is great for everybody in town and around the university.
Facts. I mean, that really goes without, you know, needing to be said. That's obvious.
100%. Well, I think it also goes without being said that it's a football school and yeah. that is the breadwinner and the king, but it continues to be said.
Yeah. 100%, man. 100%. 865-255-03. Got a little bit to go on the program earlier on the text box. Mentioned from D from 423. Tell Kelly to come on down to UTC. I think that's the kind of the best place. That level right there is the best place for Kelly right now. She just decides to continue to coach. Vaughn Birmingham says Becky Hammon should be the second call after Staley. She is making $1 million a year as the best coach in the WNBA. give her Staley money, which would triple her salary. I would at least ask her. I don't think Tennessee's going to be paying $3 million a year for women's basketball coach. I don't mind being wrong, but I don't see that happening.
Do you think that they should be willing to pay that much?
No, because I don't think you have to get a good coach. Because remember, you're still going to have funds to go get really good players if you are trying to compete with the teams who are at the top right now. You're having to make up, so you're going to have to overpay. And you have done a lot of paying football because of the position that Tennessee found themselves in with the offensive line, and the players had leverage and used that leverage. Okay? And so Tennessee is not an ATM. So got money, not broke, but I just don't see Tennessee paying $8 million a year to their women's and men's basketball coach. Goodbye. I just don't see that.
No, I don't either. Now, if you had a sitting head coach, like if Dawn Staley was currently at Tennessee and winning as much as she is winning at South Carolina, then I think that you should be more than willing to pay her.
Which Danny will do. And yes. Has done. Yeah.
Right. Like you've seen Tony get a raise, and it's been a minute since Rick got a true, true raise, but Heupel got a raise after his 2022 season.
Kelly got a raise last year.
Yeah. Well, they kind of all have built-in raises each year, depending on what they do that particular season. But the thing is, like, it's an interesting spot to be in, because I agree with everything that you're saying, Swain, in terms of the financial aspect of paying the women's basketball coach. But on the other hand, it is the Lady Vols brand, and you should not be making good hires. You should be making great hires. And
you don't have to pay $3 million to do that.
What's that?
You don't have to pay $3 million to do that.
Okay. I don't know what the going rate for a great women's basketball coach is. If it's south of $3 million, then I think that's a great thing. But my only point is that you should be hiring a great coach, and that is going to be, in terms of women basketball coach salaries, that is going to be on the steeper end. Again, I don't really know what that number would look like, but I don't think that it would be a good look for the Lady Vol brand to be cheap or just make a good hire. I think you need to make a great hire, and the paycheck needs to be a healthy paycheck. And I'm not at all insinuating that Tennessee is going to be cheap, because I don't at all think that's going to be the case. But you kind of got to make a statement with your hire, I feel like, and you're not going to be able to just do that with pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay. And again, the point is about, you know, $3 million. Kim Mulkey signed a 10-year, $36 million contract, and so that's 3.6. Ain't nobody deserve anywhere close to Kim Mulkey money except for Dawn Staley and Geno. And so you just don't have to pay that amount to get a great coach. Those coaches are getting paid that amount because they have won a championship multiple times. So when you do that, okay, we'll pay you. Just like Josh Heupel came in and was making, what, 4? And then when he proved himself, it jumped to damn near 10. So you don't have to start off at 3. You can start off lower and leave the window open for them to get paid a whole lot more based on results, which Danny White loves to pay his coaches for winning. But he's not going to overpay at the beginning. He ain't doing that. I mean, Danny will pay, but Danny ain't going to just throw money everywhere. If he was doing that, then Brian John Marie would still be here. Brian John Marie got that extra year that Michigan was willing to put into his contract, that Tennessee wasn't. So, Bo says, does Tony Vitello have a sister that coaches basketball? I don't know at all. I don't know. We got several good coaches on campus. Ben Hall says, can I ask why so many grown men have a problem with Kim Mulkey? It seems really weak and beta not to root against a woman like that for seemingly just being brass. Ben, I think you are insinuating people are just rooting against her for being brash. You don't know their reasons for not liking her. I remember how she stood up for Art Briles and how she had egg on her face during that situation. She didn't look that good. Because when the dust settled, Art Briles was let go, and Art Briles has not been touched since. But I remember Kim Mulkey was very supportive publicly. So there's people that look at her sideways because of that. There's people that look at her sideways because that whole Brittany Griner situation. So, like, you don't know the reason why people don't like Kim Mulkey.
I don't like her because I find her very annoying on the floor and in her post-game interviews. I think she is as annoying as it gets on the sideline, and it is an absolute circus with her on the sideline, and not just because she wears very flamboyant outfits, but just she's the John Calipari of women's basketball in terms of the circus on the sideline during games, the circus in the post-game press conference. It's just a show, and it's like theater almost more than it is basketball. I think that's why she is very annoying.
That's fair. Some people want their players to shut up and dribble, and not say anything. You know, some people want their players to score a touchdown and get a ball to the ref. They don't like the Angel Reese type. They don't like the Kim Mulkey type, and that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Some people like that fire that Kim Mulkey has. I think it's perfectly fair to have either opinion, 100%. Scrimmage taking place right now. Second scrimmage for Tennessee. We heard about some plays being made by some of the young Bulls, Mike Matthews and Brandon Staley, and Chris Browse was talking about all the schools that came after him, and Nico being big reason why he saw himself, you know, being here. It's an opportunity for offensive linemen to step up and make a name for themselves in the absence of guys who are out. And spring's a time, man. There's so many folks out, so many players. But it opens up an opportunity for some guys that were second on the depth chart last year, guys that played a little bit here or there, but they're trying to make a huge step because your replacement is on the way. Your replacement is always on the way. That's a mindset you need to have. Anything you want to see special from scrimmage or you want to hear about? You want to hear about
nothing super in depth. I will say they're actually scrimmaging tonight inside of Neyland Stadium.
Okay, change that.
I think everybody looked at the email, myself included, and saw that Josh Heupel was speaking at 9:35 today, and assume that it was AM. It is actually PM. Josh Heupel will speak to the media after tonight's scrimmage inside of Neyland Stadium, a real late night scrimmage. I the first thing that came to mind when you asked me that, Swain, was I want to hear about the receivers and DBs going back and forth because I feel like both of those position units have a lot to prove. And It's always we have this conversation at least once every fall. Like, is it a good thing to hear that the defense is locking up the offense? Is it a good thing to hear that the offense is just moving the football at will against the defense? And to me, you kind of want to hear about it being 50-50. You want to hear about, in this case, the receivers making plays. You want to hear about the DBs making plays. I think you want to hear about a back and forth battle. So I think those two position groups, especially the receivers, are looking for a bounce back season. And I think it would be a good sign if both of those units are making plays. And then just sticking with the theme of what we have talked about during today's show with the running backs, I mean, I want to hear some good things about Khalifa Keith and
yes.
and Deshaun Bishop as well, because you're as of right now, you're really going to need those guys. Cam Seldon, he's out for a while. Peyton Lewis, he's not practicing this spring because of an injury he had taken care of when he first got here in January. So you need some of those other guys not named Dylan Sampson to be making some plays, quite frankly, because you may need them to make plays by the time the fall rolls around and some of those key SEC games early in September. Yeah. By the time you have to travel to Norman, I believe it's September 15th, you may need Deshaun Bishop or Khalifa Keith to be ready to make a play for you. So
yep.
I want to hear about those guys making plays.
Yep. I think running backs, I think that's where I put my focus on. Sometimes we have scrimmages with new players and it can affect the timing, especially on offense. But one thing that you can pick up on is how good a running back can be. Pass pro, is he physical? Does he step up? Elbows tight, striking the chest plate of the defender. Does he run his feet? Like, you can tell what a player has, maybe what the player may not have, even in an inter-squad scrimmage when, yeah, you want the defense to win, you want the offense to win, and you want both of them to win. But you want some give and take. You certainly don't want one side dominating the other for the entire scrimmage. That's when the coach steps in and go, yo, no. Y'all got to respond. Y'all better step up. Y'all better come back the next day and win. That's when you challenge the group that lost. All right, right now at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, big-time promotion going on until the 30th of the month. $1,500 off select new HVAC systems, whole home water filtration and descalers, and or select new whole home generators. This is the right time for you. You've been waiting for the right time to replace those home systems. This is a time because Hiller has some awesome specials going on right now. Go to the website, happyhiller.com today for more detail. That is Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And if you want a brand new spanking home system, you can reach out to Jennifer Morris.
Get a whole home with it.
Yeah, you can get a whole new home with Jennifer Morris of Keller Williams Realty, who is doing great things in our community. I saw she had Drew Beam out to speak to the Central High School. I don't know that it was just the baseball team, but looked like some athletes over there at Central High School. She had Drew Beam, who she is doing some NIL stuff with, stop by and speak to them, which was very, very cool. And I just cannot say enough about Jennifer and who she is and what she's all about and the work that she does. She has helped us find our first two homes and has made the process so, so easy. A process that is very stressful. She takes the stress away. So for all of your real estate needs, I can't encourage you enough to reach out to Jennifer Morris of Keller Williams Realty because she will take great care of you.
Always. She always does that. Practice this evening. Let's get it. Let's go. Let's see who stands up, stands out today. Who's going to have a bounce back practice from scrimmage one to scrimmage two? Who's going to have a continuation from scrimmage one to scrimmage two? Who had a good scrimmage and one may take a step back and two. Oh, yeah, it happens. We'll find out today. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Next time we talk, we'll have a women's basketball coach. More than
right. Are you sure? Are you putting...
Bro, we should. The season's going to be over. Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's got to get to work in the portal. Boy, yeah. Do they. They have a lot of roster spots to fill. Also, Tennessee going back down to the Yellowhammer State this weekend. Sueno, the baseball team, that is. Big series against Auburn on the road. So we'll have plenty to talk about on Tuesday. Some spring scrimmage notes. And speaking of weekends, next weekend is a huge weekend. Not just because it's the Masters weekend, but you've got the Orange and White game. You've got LSU baseball coming to town. There's a lot of events going on around the spring game and around the baseball game as well. So it's going to be a fun weekend in Knoxville and on Rocky Top next weekend. And it'll be fun to preview all of that next week.
Let's get it. Ben McKee, GoVols247. I'm Jason Swain. Hope everyone has a fantastic rest of the day. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Peace and much love. We are out.